We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is Monday, December 28th, and this is the meeting for the Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission. To start out, we need to appoint a secretary, an acting secretary, as our current Commissioner Maboob is not available today. And Commissioner DeBleek, would you be willing to take that role on for today? I think Bruce is muted, or is he not with us? Bruce, are you there? All right, he maybe stepped out. Commissioner Magnuson, do you want to take the role of acting secretary today?
Sure.
All right, thank you. Got that out of the way. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda then? If not, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from December 14th, as well as the minutes from the December 14th work session, and the bill payments in the amount of roughly $1.65 million. General Manager Heron, is there anything on bill payments this time to point out?
Commissioner Matter, no, the capital, I believe there's one, maybe two capital there. Other than that, they're fairly routine. Yeah, just one capital item there.
All right. Looking at the screen, is the PDF blank for everybody else or just myself?
It's blank for me too.
Mike, I'm not sure if there's a reason that's not showing, but we're seeing a blank screen here.
It's for some reason it went blank on me.
Has everybody had a chance to review bill payments or pull them up in your iPad? At this point, I would look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
This is Bruce. I'll make that resolution.
I'll second.
All right. We have a resolution from Commissioner DeBleek and a second from Commissioner Magnuson for the approval of the consent agenda. Any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take a roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Blommer?
Carol's trying to get in. She's not here yet.
With that, if she's not available for that resolution, we can call that passed with her unavailable.
Okay. Then we're fine then. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next on the agenda, item number 3, we have the Willmar Municipal Utilities Labor Committee meeting minutes, and I'll pass it over to the chair, Mr. Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We did meet on Tuesday, December 22nd at 8 a.m. via Zoom meeting. The minutes are in your packet. We had a lot to go over. First item that we reviewed were the personnel policies, and each one of those are listed there in the minutes. And if you look on your packet as well, each of those policies has a edited version of each one. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all 16 of those that we looked at. They're very minor changes. Is there anything that you would like to call out, John or Janelle, on the policy reviews?
Thank you, Commissioner Weber. I'll yield that question to Janelle. Janelle, is there anything that we want to point out? Maybe the first four policies, other than that, it's just titles and name changes?
Yes, I would. Be happy to do that. The first four policies, the data practices policies, the information technology policy, the tablet policy, and personnel policy manual, those ones had, I would say, very minor changes. The rest of the policies that you see listed there The only changes that we had in them was updating titles of job positions or grammar. But throughout all of the policies, there was no significant changes that I would tend to point out or to note. It was just pretty routine this year.
Thank you, Janelle. So it's the recommendation of the Labor Committee that we approve these changes as is. Item number two was the wage adjustment for the non-union and staff personnel. We went through the recommendations there. As you remember, this is falls in line very traditionally with the union wage adjustment, which for 2021 was a 3% wage adjustment plus some market adjustments. So if large amount of time was spent on that. We went on to review the general manager's year-end review. We went through that. Cole and myself and John went through that. It was a very good review. And again, the actual review summary has been emailed to you as a confidential form. Commissioner Erickson left. There was a little bit of more discussion with General Manager Heron about his review with myself and him, and then we adjourned at 10:30 a.m. So that is the summary of the minutes, and I submit as a motion for approval.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, this bros.
We have a second to approve the minutes as presented. Any discussion? Commissioner Weber, as you had a discussion on the general manager's review and looking more specifically maybe at the 2021 goals, was there adjustments made to those goals? Was that mostly presented by staff, or did the committee offer some recommendations on changes they'd like to see to goals?
It was not presented by staff. John presented that to the committee. It focused, we did not adjust what John had. It was focused on several past initiatives as we carried forward into 2021, but also focused on some of the larger projects that we've talked about coming up in 2021.
Okay. And in the goals, is that mostly heavily driven by projects? Is there anything relating to personnel and things of that nature?
Very project and financial emphasis.
Okay. I'd like to maybe have a little further review or discussion at the labor side at some point. I'm just looking forward on some of the personnel side of things, and maybe that would tie into the survey. I think that's in the works with staff as well. All right, so again,
it'd be the labor committee's thought process that the 2021 goals are somewhat fluid and they can be adjusted throughout the year.
Okay, fair enough. So again, we do have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Any further discussion? All right, if not, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Do we have Carol here, Lahmer?
She's not here yet.
Okay. And Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, that motion passes. And then next up, we have the official approval of the personnel policies. And again, Ms. Johnson, you kind of walked through that. Is there any additional information on the policies that we need to run through or take a look at?
Commissioner Mattern, I have nothing further on those policies.
Okay. If not, I'd be looking for a motion for approval of the revision to the personnel policies as presented.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Weber and a second from Commissioner Magnuson. Any discussion on the policies or questions on the changes? All right, hearing none there, Ms. Mathias, and if you could take a roll on that, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
That motion passes as well. All right, so next on the agenda, we're looking for approval of the non-union and general manager's wage adjustments, including market adjustments. And before we get into that, I did have a brief discussion with General Manager Heron before the meeting. I was looking for a little more information specific to the market adjustment side of things. And that's something that he agreed that they're going to be gathering, staff will be gathering and providing. And we can take a further look at that. That being said, I'd like to recommend at this point that we move forward with the COLA adjustments, but that we hold off on any market adjustments until we've had a chance to further review some of that information. I know during the Labor Committee meeting that Commissioner Mahbub was not available for that. And there's just some information I know in the past that the full commission had received that had not been sent out this time around. So I'd be looking for more of that information before we had a chance to fully make an appropriate decision there. With that, I would offer a resolution to move forward with approval of the 2021 COLA adjustments for non-union staff and the general manager, and then hold off on market adjustments until a further discussion. So I'll make that as a resolution.
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Weber. Any discussion on that resolution?
The question I've got is timing of the market rates or the market adjustment. When would that be brought forward? Or when would that be done?
Good question. I would push for that to be brought forward to the next meeting in January.
Thanks.
Any other questions or discussions?
Mr. Chair, one question. So that would be thrown back to the Labor Committee for review.
At this point, I will plan to have a follow-up discussion with General Manager Heron. There are a couple documents in particular that we had discussed that he'll be putting together. One, I believe that the Labor Committee did receive, but the rest of the commission did not. And then I'll be looking for a little bit more information that will probably just be pushed out to the full commission.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. General Manager Heron, is there anything that you wanted to add?
Not at this time, Commissioner Mattern. I believe I understand what you're looking for, and we'll get that together and get it over to you.
Okay. Any final discussion on the resolution? Okay, Ms. Mathiasen, if you could take roll, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek? DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
All right, that resolution passes. Thank you. All right, Commissioner Weber, anything to wrap up on your update for us?
Stand by.
I think you covered it all, but I wasn't sure if you had any final remarks there.
I think I did say I had a final remark, but I will not say that now. My question was answered. So that is all for the Labor Committee update.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, we have our 2021 electric distributed generation reporting, an update from Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Chair Mattern. Per Minnesota Rule 7835, all Minnesota electric utilities are required to report on energy generation tariffs and interconnection status for customer-owned distributed generation facilities. I'm just reading the statute there. So fortunately, the Minnesota PUC, Department of Commerce, and others have laid out templates that we can follow to present this information to you. And the bulk of this work has actually been done by MRES, which was quite handy. Schedule A is on page 4 of the PDF. It's the estimated energy costs for the future, next 5 years. It's listed there. Schedule B on pages 5 through 7 is your estimated capacity costs. They've got generating facility costs, capacity purchase costs, and then there's kind of a metric for avoided capacity costs as well. So you can look at MRES's numbers there at your leisure. There is some highlighted information that indicates trade secret data, and there's rules that allow them to omit that from the forms. Schedule C is on page 8 of the PDF. That's the average retail energy rate. This would be the, sorry, turn this radio off here. This would be the reimbursement rate that distributed generation resources would be reimbursed at if their energy exceeds what they use and they sell it back to the utility. We don't actually use this rate here at WMU, and we'll get to the rate we do use, which is more of a wholesale or avoided cost per rate. Schedule D on pages 13 through 24 is the Minnesota standard contract that we use with qualifying facilities. It's when you have basic interconnection, the state requires us to use a standardized form. Schedule E on pages 25 through 70 is for all other cases, all other facilities, whether they're too big to meet the standard requirements or special situations. Schedule F, we don't have any. It's a way to specify when you will not purchase electricity from these distributed generation resources. An example of this would be in hurricane-prone areas where Mother Nature may prevent the utility from taking energy surplus from one customer and distributing it to another, but we didn't call out anything like that. Schedule G is back up on pages 9 through 10. Is just the computations that we use to come up with schedules A and B. Again, there's some trade secret data that's highlighted there or omitted from that report. And then schedule 8 is the wholesale power rate. This is the one that you want to keep in the back of your mind if you're ever talking to customers about a solar interconnection or other sort of distributed generation interconnection. The rate for 2021 is 1.91 cents. And again, that's our avoided cost or wholesale power cost. So I quickly went through all of that, but if you have any questions, we can try to dive into them.
Any questions for Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Jaron and Commissioner Mattern, for the commission information. By statute, we do not need a motion or a resolution accepting the report that Jaron presented. We are just required as an FYI to present it to the commission.
Thank you much. Any questions remaining from the commission? All right. Thank you, Jaron, for that report. And I'll let you continue on with our next agenda item for the Emergency Generation Response Plan.
All right. So this is what you may know as the catastrophic event plan. In the event that we'd lose all of our transmission sources, we would enact this plan. That would obviously get the attention of the general manager. So he's step one to authorize us to proceed with this. Step two, the facilities and maintenance supervisor would arrange for the generation and fuel delivery. The line distribution supervisor would then enact the emergency response contingency plan, and that basically outlines our priority circuits, communications channels, and then has a bunch of emergency contact info. The next thing that line distribution supervisor would do is restore power, if safe to do so, two portions of the city using our existing 12 megawatts of diesel generation. The line distribution supervisor can then start preparing materials and equipment necessary to interconnect the rental generation at the two sites that we'll describe later. Engineering would complete the switching procedure, which will prepare us for a rolling blackout scenario. And then we would use this table presented here on the bottom of page 3, if you want to jump up a little bit there, Mike, that explains the rolling blackout scenario. And this table was presented to the commission back in March, but I'll walk through it again because there's a lot of information on it here. If you look at the power plant row, there's four different sequences, A through B. Sequence A is going to be a third of our feeder one and half of feeder two. Our winter peak on that is 3.42 megawatts and our summer peak is 5.29 megawatts. So we would run or energize those feeders for about an hour. We would de-energize them. Then we would energize sequence B, which is feeder three. After that runs for an hour, we would shut them off, energize sequence C. We'd run feeder four for about an hour, shut that off. Energize sequence D, which is feeders 5 and 6, run those for an hour and shut it off. Go back to sequence A and just continuously roll through those four different separations of our power plant feeders. At the same time, at the south sub, we would have three sequences. A is going to be two thirds of feeder one and all of feeder 11. B is feeders 12 and 13, and sequence C would be half of
feeder 2 and
all of feeder 14. And again, southwest and east are a little more straightforward. It's just one feeder on each sequence. Same philosophy. You might ask, well, if we're only doing two sequences at the east sub, why can't we share some of the power plant load and kind of distribute that more equally? And we're just limited with our distribution system and where those interconnection points are that we can't take load off the power plant and put it on the east without overloading the existing east feeders. Moving power from one site to another is more of a transmission function. And we're saying in this scenario that our transmission system is down. So that's the meat of the policy. Are there any questions on how that rolling blackout would be performed?
Jaron, looking at the grid here, you've got the power plant, south, southwest, and east substations. Is this a combination of the backup generation that we have as well as the additional stuff we would have to bring in for rental? Is that how we would feed all of that?
That is correct. So the southwest and east would be our existing diesel generation. And then at the power plant and south is generation that we would have to get from other sources we don't have today. Okay, then if we move on to page 3 or 4, I think we're on now, it's Exhibit A. This is just information that will be useful to facilities to get the rental generators and the fuel delivery. Exhibit B on the next page is south sub specific information. You can see a site layout there. The generator containers are 40 feet long. The transformer containers are 35 feet long and you have to have 10 feet separation between them. The equipment in green will be pre-made and stored on site. The line crew will just have to hook it up. The equipment in blue is going to be stored on a trailer in storage. And when we know we need to use these, we'll just transport it to the site, cut the wire to length and hook it up. We have a period of time before these generators will get here. There's a transportation delay after, you know, we know what we need. We make the calls to get what they need and then they have to come from wherever they're coming from. Could be Shakopee, it could be Iowa, it could be wherever they're available, really. So we will have some time to prepare in that sense. And the reason that we don't or didn't choose to pre-make this equipment in blue is a couple different reasons. Number one, the transformer end connection could be different depending on the manufacturer of the transformer. And number two, this stuff has a shelf life. And so once it's made and it's set out in the elements, it's going to start to age and will need to be replaced. If we keep it on a trailer, we will, you know, after each year, rotate it into our normal inventory and use it and assign newer stuff to the emergency trailer that we have. If we go on to the next page, you'll see the same sort of setup for the power plant. We've got a diagram here of the cubicle that we'll interconnect to just to make sure the phasing is correct. And then on the following page, you can see a site layout of the power plant. Again, a very similar setup. We'll use the employee parking lot to stage that equipment. And then I believe the last page is just the exhibits for the switching procedure. We'll throw in the dates and times there that we need, and then we have it ready. Any questions on the catastrophic event or emergency response generation plan?
Sharon, looking at the power plant spot, if we had to bring in rental equipment and utilize the parking lot for that, do we have the fencing available already that we would need to block off entrance and exit and kind of segregate that parking lot area?
Yes, we do have some fencing that we use for our mobile sub, and we've actually had the mobile sub set up here at the office site and had enough fencing to go around that. If not, we'd have to reach out to some fencing or rental facilities to enclose that. But that is part of the plan. Like I said, we do have the rental generator fencing that would be used for that.
Okay. And this document, I know we've seen bits and pieces along the way. I think planning maybe has seen bits and pieces or discussed pieces of it. Has planning had a chance to review this whole document, or has it not gone to the planning committee at all?
This document hasn't been on a planning committee agenda, no.
Okay, just curious. Commissioners, any other questions? Everybody's quiet on that one. Well, this was something that we knew we needed, and we appreciate the work to get together. Again, it's something we hope we never have to use, but it's good to have in case we do. So we thank you and appreciate the time in putting this all together.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Number six, the educational topic. We have our 2020 annual department updates, and we will start with IT, Mr. Sangren.
All right, good afternoon, commissioners. First of all, I apologize for the choppiness of this presentation. My Adobe seemed to stop refreshing, so I've had to kind of refresh. So as we go forward, I still might have a couple more hiccups in the overall presentation. Hopefully this presentation goes well though. So the 2020 IT review, and it was another busy year, but productive year. And we started out the year with a capital project, my loan capital project, which I got in January before we kind of put things on hold a little bit. But I replaced a storage area network and a host server according to our 5-year schedule. And the budget amount for that hardware was $39,500 roughly. And the actual came out to be just under 35 at 34.6. And I had put labor in there for 5,100, and it was actually only 1,443. So the total cost of the project was 36,105. Any questions on that capital project? Otherwise, I've got to move my screen here a little bit. Also due to COVID, we cut some items from our O&M budgets, and I cut $18,795, and that lowered my budget from $236,820 to $2,018,025. Workforce management. This was a big project that
technically we are done with, but we are still kind of learning how to drive it. This is basically the mobilization of our service orders, such things as meter installs and meter exchanges, disconnects, things like that. This conversion started in April of 2020, kind of as a fast track. Usually it takes a year or more to do this, but with COVID, our software vendor kind of did a fast track with us, which was kind of good and bad in hindsight. So this process has totally changed the way we do service orders. It eliminates the paper service orders, and it digitally streamlines the service order process, starting with the customer service rep all the way to the field and back. So with this process, we're now using tablets and smartphones in the field. And as we continue to use this, I believe that this functions will grow in a lot of ways. So I went through that kind of quick, but I just want to emphasize that was a pretty big project. And yes, so any questions on that? Okay. Cooperative Response Center, or CRC. This is our new call center that we use for after hours and holidays now that we no longer have the power plant. This was Jaron's pet project, but these are the few items that I had to take care of. So we had to integrate our NISC billing software with CRC's system so that when a customer would call into them with a billing question or an outage, that they would have that information at their fingertips. Along with that, I had to create about three dozen email distribution groups for the types of CRC messaging that comes through. And then also we had to create some distribution groups for our SCADA alarms so that when our SCADA alarms go off, they would send it to our field guys. Then of course we had to do a little reconfiguring of the phone system for, again, nights and holidays. And then we also had to install an IRIX server, and maybe Jaron can tell us what IRIX means if we really want to know, but this was for our field personnel to be able to use their tablets or phones to have VPN access to control some of our SCADA screens. Any questions with that one? All right. I had to put in an additional switch down at the service center, which basically means more computer ports so we can put in more devices. That was put in to help accommodate some security enhancements, which Kevin may touch on after me. But this switch was not budgeted for 2020. And the reason I say that is, even though we kind of had to make do this year, it also set me up for next year to add some additional Wi-Fi access points. Because with this additional switch, they also pulled some additional Ethernet cable that will also help with my project. So we're kind of underway already for 2021 in that regard. And then cybersecurity, the pen testing is gonna be done this first and second week of January from Department of Homeland Security. I don't know if everybody knew, but I believe I talked to Commissioner Mattern that this was supposed to be done, I believe it was in November, and then we got pushed back again due to the elections and Operation Warp Speed, but now we're back on track. We also did some installation of multi-factor authentication for our VPN access. And then we continue to fish our staff with the Know Before vendor that we have a contract with yearly. And then we also just started some scam of the week emails that basically they're just informational that we send out bi-weekly to our staff that just give good tips on what to look for and how scammers are trying to get you to click. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Thank you, Mike. I do have a security question for you about the access points, but I will ask you that offline sometime.
Okay.
And if I can have you go back to page 2, I think it was. Yeah, last item there, the roughly $20,000 that was cut from the budget. Just to clarify, is that a cut or was that a delay in projects that we're going to have to make up for and see those expenditures at some point in the future?
No, they were cuts. And generally, they were some built-in items that may or may not pop up. Most likely, a lot of these were things that... things that we have going on that occasionally need some money thrown at it. But so those are the kind of the areas I cut. So.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Commissioners, any other questions on this report?
Commissioner Mattern, if I can interject a couple comments here.
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to thank staff. I mean, Mike's leading us off here with our updates. Commissioner Erickson, you were part of last January, February when he wrapped up, but every end of year, all the department heads provide an update. This year as part of the updates, as Commissioner Mattern alluded to the cuts, staff has taken a very proactive approach to the COVID challenge that we had ahead of us last spring. So, you know, Mike started here today. You'll see Kevin's as well. The rest of the department heads, they will be noting the changes that were made in their own area of expertise in their budgets. Some were O&M, some were cuts, some were actually delayed projects. Most of the dollars that we reduced or scaled back on are delayed projects, not necessarily cuts. There were some dollars, as Mike noted, that were cut, and you'll see that in the rest of the budgets as well. So as we go through the updates, year-end updates here, you will see that. We'll be pointing them out in each department, what those dollars consisted of. I know those conversations keep coming up when we give our COVID update, our PowerPoint update, and when we provide our financials, when we look at our retained earnings. Some of the questions by the commissioners, they talk about, or they ask, well, our retained earnings are good. How does that tie into our COVID? Our retained earnings, basically savings are coming from our O&M changes that we're making, which in turn, our retained earnings along with depreciation are the dollars that are utilized for our capital projects. So with the capital projects being delayed as well, we should close the year end out financially in a position that's equally as strong as last year or maybe even stronger. So just wanted to point that out as we go through. So again, thank you to staff. They deserve kudos for the work that they have done throughout the year to manage our budgets in a COVID environment. So thank you. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Commissioners, any other questions on this report? All right. Thank you again, Mike. We appreciate that update.
Thank you.
And we'll move into the next year-end update. Mr. Marty.
Thank you, Chair Mattern. As mentioned, your end update for facilities and maintenance department broke down into the different divisions that I look over. So the first one being the power plant. As you're aware, that was decommissioned the district heating system and the plant in June 30th. We kept on the employees that were willing to help out through July 10th, and they worked on disconnecting the mobile boiler and starting to secure the plant. And then late this fall, we installed heaters as needed in the well room, the battery room, and the control room to heat those areas as we move through the next phase of the plant. I guess those areas needed to remain heated. We also completed the environmental studies and the hazardous materials inventory studies that we've talked about. The estimated cost for that work was originally about $59,310. Our actual cost through our last billing in August is $75,405. And we touched on that a little bit in talking about the plant, but the additional expenses were is that we picked up the underground heat piping and the study work on those. That's why we went a little bit over budget on that project. We held an online auction of excess equipment. that auction is wrapped up. At the time that I made this report, it was still in progress, and that auction went quite well. Just under $58,000 gross sales of excess tools and equipment and you name it. If it was in the plant and they thought it would sell, it sold. So we also sold the track mobile that used to be the equipment that used move the coal cars on the railroad tracks, and the payloader and the carho assembly, the big yellow carho assembly that was on the north side of the plant. All told, between the auction and those three pieces of equipment this year, we've recouped about $291,000 back from excess equipment. The next slide, the wind generation. We had some blade repairs to finish up on Tower 3. We had a hub repair to Tower 3 as well. And then the blade bearing stud repair to Tower 4 that we've talked about. The guys have done the annual maintenance. They go up and do weekly maintenance inspections on the towers and have done a real nice job of keeping the wind turbines operating pretty well this year. Cost of power, as we look at the cost since inception, July 2009 through November of 2020, our total cost divided by our total kilowatt hours produced, we end up at about 17.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Our year-to-date cost of power through November is just under, or just a little bit over 2 cents per kilowatt hour, taking out all those costs that we incurred before. Go ahead. Diesel generation. We have our six diesel gen sets, three at the east sub and three at the southwest. We have Ziegler do a lot of our maintenance work out there for us. They completed their annual maintenance in January, and that'll be coming up again this January. That's a yearly function. And part of last year's is that they retested our cooling systems that we had some contamination issues with, and those issues seem to be taken care of. We also had them out four times during the year for some other repairs and assistance with issues on the units. And then our staff does the monthly maintenance checks and runs the units each month. And then quarterly, they do an urge test for MRES, and that is reimbursed back to us. And then in the facilities, we installed an inventory barcoding system this summer at the service center. And basically that allows our staff and our vendors staff to scan and make changes to inventory charge outs, receiving inventory, that sort of thing, a lot quicker and easier. And then that same vendor makes a scheduled weekly visit and walks our shelves and reorders product and assists us with that. So that's been able to really streamline that portion of our work and allow the guys to keep on other items. Other items to note, we renewed our three-year farm lease and that's on the 69 KV property that's adjacent to Menards along the bypass on the south side of town. And then the Jerry's Liquor building, and John will probably touch on this again in his general manager's report, but the main floor of the Jerry's building has always been used for district heat piping and equipment storage. Almost all of that stuff was sold in the power plant excess auction. So staff has been working on cleaning out the lower level of that building, and we'll talk about getting a renter in there. Also working with the city on the opportunity and Renaissance zones throughout the year. Basically, we're in a wait and see what happens. If somebody's interested in any of our parcels, that'll pop up in the next 5 years. And then we completed multiple security upgrades at utility facilities. Most noticeably at the service center was the bulk of our work. We have a couple things to finish up in the spring at the substations. And then capital improvement projects. Downtown streetlight project has been working on it for a couple years now. We completed an updated streetlight agreement with the city back in the spring. And then we installed four demo lights in the downtown area. They are on the south end of, I think it's 4th Street by the Barn Theater, two on each side of the street. We've had a lot of positive feedback on those so far, both from members of the public and downtown property owners and the city itself. Tentatively, we have a timeline to start those replacements in 2022, and we're working with the city on an agreement, draft an agreement regarding the logistics and payments of that project, how that's going to look as it's going to be a joint project. So the building project, the commission had approved staff to develop site criteria and develop a list of potential sites, and we did not touch that project this year. We delayed that due to COVID budget constraints. The HVAC conversions on our owned buildings, because of the district heat being shut down, we had to swap out the heating systems at the office and the service center building that we had budgeted $110,000 for. And an updated number here, we spent about about $77,000 on those two buildings to finish that project up. And there was no vehicle or equipment purchases made in 2020. And then, as John mentioned, the items that we delayed due to COVID this year, we had a Toolcat utility vehicle that was in the budget for replacement. We delayed that. That was budgeted at $50,000. And I mentioned the land purchase. The building project, we had budgeted for land purchase and initial architect and design work of $805,000, and we pushed that back as well. And I believe that concludes the report, unless you have questions for me.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for that update also. Two questions, well, one statement and a question, I suppose, on the facility security updates. I know we've been talking about a number of things over the last year, probably even longer. So I'm glad to see that that is still underway, and it sounds like there's more to go. Just want to make sure that some of those things aren't lost over the course of time as well. I know we talked about everything from additional alarm updates to potential cameras and so on and so forth. So perhaps a further discussion on that, but just want to make sure that that's all still being addressed as needed. So that's more of a comment there. And then kind of a question, and I honestly don't mean to rub anything in with this, but going back to the wind turbine and the cost of power, one thing to maybe add in a future update for newer commissioners, I think just to have a comparison of where we are for the actual cost of power and an honest comparison to what the projections were would be something beneficial for future commissioners, just to keep that in mind as well and to have that gauge available.
Okay.
Commissioners, any additional questions on this report?
Yes, this is Bruce. Going back to the power plant slide, the online auction, excess equipment, how much more equipment is there in that power plant that we could sell off yet?
Most of the equipment that's still in there is larger, heavier items that are you know, bolted in, and, you know, there's quite a few electric motors, and there's a very large air compressor. and then you get into the actual boilers and turbines themselves. The only things that we didn't sell that were smaller of nature or pallet sized are specific replacement items for the boilers themselves, like the replacement grates and those sorts of things. The guys went through the plant pretty well and basically picked out anything that we thought would sell that was not specific to the actual boiler. There's a handful of other, you know, there's hot water heaters and some different things in there that we could potentially add to a future auction, but not a whole lot. As we look at and talking with the project about, you know, potential cleanup and demolition of that power plant, a lot of the things that are left in the building are of a nature that they would be sought after for scrap or resale for the folks that are going to be doing the work of taking the building down. And we were told at this time to leave them be rather than resell them or sell them. Most of, like I say, most of what's in the plant would take cranes and equipment to get out. So if it could go out through the freight elevator, we sold it. Everything else is quite larger in nature and would be part of the plant demolition and scrapping at that time.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking like the package boiler is still in there, and we had the other larger equipment like that there, if that was, if you're considering selling any of that off before we demo the plant.
To answer that question, the package boiler was put in, where was it here? 1991, I believe. So it's a fairly new boiler. It does have some issues with it. There's some burner issues and some things like that that we have chosen throughout the year not to repair. But we did reach out probably a year ago, actually, to a couple of our boiler vendors and the guys that do, that came out and did a lot of the work with the boilers as far as checking on the value of it and if there would be a market for it, and there really is not, just because of the size of them. Boilers nowadays have changed so much that, you know, the same output of that boiler you can put in my office compared to the room that it's in currently. So yeah, it was, to answer the question, they'd come and take it off our hands for free, basically, if we really wanted to get rid of it. And at that point, we'd let it go with the building. Sure. You know, my ears are always open if somebody wants to buy something. And the phone is ringing, I guess, since we've been talking about the plant. So we'll see what the future brings.
Hey, Kevin, to expand on that, just for the commission, FYI, was it Wink that had suggested that we do not start cleaning out that plant, meaning the boilers, the generators, the cranes, is that's going to drive up our demolition costs if we start removing that type of equipment in that plant?
That's correct.
Yep. So, or to answer Commissioner DeBleek's question, we're really careful what we offer for sale because we don't want to drive up our demo costs, you know, make a buck here, but lose two on our demo. So Kevin's really cautious that way.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
To Commissioner DeBleek's point on that, I had an opportunity to go through the plant one more time recently, and I know we're looking at setting up a joint meeting with the council in January to discuss this. I'm wondering if there's any value or interest with other commissioners in doing one more walkthrough of that plant sometime in January. I know it's a little cold in there, but you can bundle up and just wondering if that's a discussion worth having.
There might be some value in that. I don't know if it would be in value to invite any of the council members to go along with that.
That might be a good idea.
You know, we're going to be talking about it with them.
coming up here, and they've, like a lot of people in the console have had, they've probably never been in that building as well.
Mr. Hearn, I believe there is at least one other commissioner that had expressed interest that wanted to do a walkthrough. Is that correct?
That would be correct, Commissioner Mattern. We do not have that arranged yet, but we're waiting on the commissioner to reach back out to us for that. But with that said, we'd welcome, you know, any additional tours by the commission and or city council. Kevin's hoping to reach out to the city council here, or not the city council, city staff, but we can extend that invitation to the council as well, that anyone that wants to walk through that plant before that joint meeting would be welcome to do so. It would help them better understand the magnitude of the challenge ahead of us. So we can extend, I think that's an excellent suggestion, that we extend that invitation to the council as well, in addition to city staff.
Let's do that, and maybe even toss out a couple of potential dates. I'd hate for everybody to do this one at a time, but if we had to do one or two sessions where you've got a smaller group of people, it might be easier to manage that way.
Commissioner Mattern, we'd have to keep the group under three because of the open meeting law requirements. So a smaller group would be a better approach to touring that plant versus posting, scheduling and posting an actual meeting to go through the plant.
That sounds good.
Well, with that said, John, you could still post a meeting, and that would also bring the press in probably.
That is true. We could.
And, we need a 2-week advance notice.
Actually, Kevin and Chris, they're working with the Historical Society. They were going to come out here, but then with the escalation of COVID and social distancing, that was pushed back from what, Kevin, November to April, maybe?
Yeah, that's correct. And also, they were the Historical Society, and I've also been reached out by other people in the state, honestly, and in town about wanting to get in and photograph and those kind of things. And being that we're talking about dealing with the plant, but it's not going anywhere anytime soon. We've kind of pushed a lot of those other groups off into spring when it gets a little nicer in the building. But this particular walkthrough obviously has some urgency to it because of a pending meeting in the next month or so. Yeah, we should get anybody that wants to, any of the decision makers that want to get through there should get through there.
Yeah, I think extending that invitation and allowing everybody that opportunity would be a good thing.
Right. We will do that, Commissioner Mattern. It sounds like an excellent plan.
Thank you. Commissioners, any additional questions on this report? All right. Kevin, you had a chance to wrap up, or any final thoughts?
I think that was it. Unless anybody had questions, that was about it. We had a good, safe year, and look forward to another one.
All right. Thank you so much.
Before we move off the updates, I do have a question for the commission. Last year, the commission, at the end of our annual updates, asked if we could standardize how we present the updates. So at staff level, we felt that we would go to PowerPoint presentations, 4 to 6 slides to try and hit the highlights. Now today, we presented 2 updates from our 2 different departments. Is this what the commission is looking for before we move forward with the rest?
I, for one, was pleased with what I saw. Other commissioners have thoughts?
I would agree.
I would echo that as well.
All right, thank you. We will continue with the same format as we move through the updates with the other departments. So thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, next on the agenda then, we have an update on our final Mr. Schmidt's silent impact resolution video. And Ms. Johnson, I don't know if you have additional information, maybe some final background and a final bit of thoughts before we get into the video.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. I'd like to give just a real brief background and update, as this is our final presentation. In 2018, a management staff engagement survey was conducted in conjunction with Ridge Rudder College to help management identify any weaknesses in our communication and morale at WMU. Since that time period, management has gone through extensive lengths with staff, soliciting staff suggestions, working with them, improving communication avenues, as well as bringing in a motivational speaker, which was Joe Schmidt. The commission supported management's request for Joe Schmidt to present his Impact Leadership Seminar for staff, which was presented last December. And for the past 12 months, Joe's provided a personal message each month for our staff in a short video clip as a follow-up to his presentation in December of 2019. This December, now just a couple weeks ago, 12 months after Joe's initial presentation and as planned, our safety training program completed another management staff engagement survey so we can benchmark any progress that may have been made. Our safety outreach coordinator, Chris, conducted the survey for our staff, and the preliminary numbers are showing an increase in all the numbers across the board, across all departments. So that's really been encouraging. So once the compilation is completed, we'll review the results and the progress made with the Labor Committee. So on behalf of staff, again, thank you for the opportunity to bring Joe in for our staff and to give his year-long program on silent impact. It has made a positive impact on our staff. And so with that said, Joe's final presentation to WMU staff is on mindset. Changing your mindset changes one perspective. So again, thank you. And Mike, you can go ahead with the video.
Hi, everybody. Joe Schmidt here with your Impact Resolution for the month of December. And in December, we're going to talk about your mindset. Happy holidays, everybody. We're going to talk about your mindset. Now, when I was younger, I used to think that your attitude was 100% your choice. You could choose positive or you could choose negative. From the time you're a little kid, your parents are always telling you to have a positive attitude. But then I realized we have the human condition, which means that we can have a bad day. We can be in a bad mood. We can be surrounded by negativity. In these days of COVID and the pandemic, we have more stress and anxiety around us than ever before. So it's hard to choose what attitude you have. But you can choose your mindset. And your mindset are a set of values that you believe in and you trust. And because you believe in them and you trust them, you live them. I learned the lesson from a friend of mine. Several years ago, I had major back surgery. I was going to be out of work for at least a month. And it happened to be a month I was very busy on the speaking circuit. I lost a couple of major speeches, and I was able to reschedule a few. But one of the speeches I lost, I helped the friend get. And I told her, I said, I'm so upset. I'm so bummed that I'm losing this great opportunity to speak. I'm happy you got it, but I'm bummed I'm not there. And she said, Joe, you are looking at this all wrong. You have to change your mindset. She said, you should be happy that you have the business that you could give up, that you're lucky enough to be busy enough that you could give up that business. That's changing your mindset. When you change your mindset, you change your perspective. And when you change your mindset, it really changes everything. And it can change everything for the better. That's our impact resolution for the month of December. We'll see you next year. Happy holidays, and make an impact.
All right. Well, it's a good way to wrap up the month and the year with a motivational speech from Mr. Schmidt. Janelle, thank you for that update and the information that you provided on that as well. Any additional comments? All right. If none, we'll move into the next agenda item. Commissioner Lahmer, I don't know if you're focused with us or she looks like maybe she's on the move there. Well, we will do this for the sake of the rest of the commissioners, and I will have to give her a, there she is. Carol, are you with us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, how are you?
Well, due to some personal issues going on, I was out of sorts today and forgot my iPad at home. And then as we're driving, I have my grandkids with me. I'm going to Rochester to Mayo after I drop them off at my daughter's. So my mind has not necessarily been where it should be, and I apologize for that.
Well, so, we're glad that you're with us. If you'll allow me, I've got a brief presentation I'd like to offer you.
Okay. I'm going to send the grandkids in to get slushies while we're doing this.
Perfect. So this is Commissioner Lahmer's last meeting of the year with us, perhaps her last meeting with us. we may have one more in January. We're not sure yet. But Commissioner Lahmer, I just want to say that it's with immense gratitude that we recognize your past 9 years of service to Willmar Municipal Utilities. You've demonstrated sincere leadership as you've walked with us through numerous challenges and endeavors, some of which include just a few highlights, such as the creation of the Priam substation, future plans for the water treatment plant, the district heat shutdown, our joining as a joint action agency with Missouri River, the power plant shutdown, and most recently, the COVID challenges of 2020. Carol, you've prepared us to continue on with these and other new projects that are on the horizon. In your years of service, you've also served on the MMUA board, APPA council, attended numerous educational and legislative sessions, engaged in public policy at the state and national levels, and represented us at various conferences. You leave us with great admiration for your commitment to the utilities and a lasting example of dedication to public service. We thank you again for your tireless work. It's also my honor to present to you the following plaque, even if only virtually for now. I'll hold this up. I don't know if everybody's able to see this on the screen here. It reads, Certificate of Appreciation presented to Carol Lahmer for outstanding and dedicated service, 2012 to 2020, Willmar Municipal Utilities Commission. I'll be sure to get this to you in person.
Okay.
But for now, there's that. So Carol, we thank you for your time with us, and any final thoughts that you'd wish to leave us with?
Just, as they say, keep calm and carry on. There's lots of things going on, and, the commission, I've been proud of our commissioners because we've always had good turnout. Participation is very good, I believe. And with our staff, our management, our general manager is a true leader to that staff that I've enjoyed being part of this commission. And to tell the truth, sad about leaving because it's become part of my life in the last 9 years outside of till today, I guess. And all I can say is thank you for allowing me to be on this commission. Thank you for allowing me to be the chair for a period of time. And I'm very happy that Justin took over this past year and has done an excellent job in leading the commission on as we go forward. There's just one little tidbit that I want to say, and that's Joe was saying, don't dwell on it. My only one is I had truly hoped that we could have gotten staff into a new building before I left, but due to other pressing issues, we weren't able to do that, but I will look forward to the day that that does happen. And so again, I say, thank you everyone for letting me serve and keep calm and carry on. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol, and thank you for those words of wisdom, and again, for all the time that you have given and dedicated to us. All right. I saw some cheers in the chat box here, so thank you again, Carol. We just regret that we weren't able to do this in person today, but that day will come. We'll be able to celebrate as well. All right, moving on, we'll go into the general manager's report. Mr. Heron.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Mattern. As long as you have Carol before we lose her. Carol, you might have one more meeting that you're able to attend. Commissioner Mattern asked staff to reach out to Mr. Scott about ending of terms and if they end at year end. So we reached out to Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott responded this morning. And basically, as a commissioner, even though you're term limit is up, you are a commissioner until someone new is appointed and they take their oath of office. So if the city waits with doing new appointments, as an example, until their first or second meeting in January, you remain our commissioner. So we will keep you in the loop there based on the progress of the city's reappointment. And likewise, for the rest of the commissioners, example, Commissioner Weber, if the city would not have reappointed him before the end of the year, he would have remained on as our commissioner until they did the reappointment. So that's good news from Mr. Scott that we can always maintain a full commission here and carry on business until the city gets around to doing their appointment. So I just wanted to share that with you, Commissioner Lemire, being that you were still on here. We'll keep you posted as the next okay. meeting closer and or we hear from the city when they do their appointment. So I just want to echo what Commissioner Mattern had said. Thank you, Carol. It's been a pleasure working with you. So appreciate your dedication to the industry and your knowledge. So the industry is we're in a better place because of you. So thank you.
Thank you. Are you welcome, Mattern?
First item on there is discuss committee appointments. Last year, the commission asked if there would be benefit and value to rotating some of the commissioners. We rotated one commissioner from the committees. Something to think about. Next meeting, we'll be doing committee appointments, meaning labor committee and planning committee. So if any of the commissioners would like to rotate, give some thought and consideration to that and reach out to Commissioner Mattern and express your desire to rotate committees if you so wish. From a general manager's perspective, I think rotating committees serves the commission well as you gain a better understanding and probably appreciation of the committee work of the opposite committee. However, to have a full committee turnover, I would caution the commission on that as well. To rotate one commissioner, I think, would serve well, but to rotate multiple commissioners every year could be a bit challenging as a lot of projects carry over from year to year, so we'd lose that continuity. As Kevin alluded to, Jerry's Liquor Building, the lower level of that, our property management company has indicated that they could rent that out and possibly the vacant property that we have, the old parking lots there. So you'll see some signs going up out there that property is available for rent, being that we have the bottom of that building cleaned out now. Missouri River Today, Mike, if you want to open up, if you're still there, if you want to open up the Missouri River Today and scroll down a little bit, Mike, please. Okay, right here, what you see coming up is a snapshot of what time of use rates would look like. I believe commission members all received the Missouri River Today magazine. Maybe two meetings back, the commission had asked what will time of rates look like, and I said it'd be in blocks or chunks throughout the day would be different rates. So this is a snapshot in their Missouri River Today magazine that they pushed out. You can see the green would be the off-peak hours, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then the two reds would be our highest price power. And then through the middle of the day, mid-afternoon, would be what they refer to as mid-peak pricing. Weekends, we'd have two pricing zones, basically off-peak and mid-peak pricing zones. So that's the next phase to where we are today to move forward with time of use rates. Any questions on that? I know it can be complicated, but that just is a snapshot of the different, basically four periods. Weekdays, we'll have four periods of different time, different costs to our energy purchases. Thank you, Mike.
Question on that time of peak.
Yes, Commissioner DeBleek.
Are we going to be moving that out to the retail side of things
as well? That's a very good question, Commissioner DeBleek. The next rate study that we do, I would assume the commission is going to want to look at that as it's an incentive for people to do what they can to, save power costs. So next rate study is scheduled for 2023-2024. So at that time we can look at it unless we want to move the rate study up, which we'll be talking about our financial position here probably end of July, first part of February with our projects that we have coming up. We can look at it then as well. Another piece to this that we talked about is taking part in a time of use pilot project, which would also give us an indication of what that would look like for our customers, which that information would aid then in setting time of use rates for our retail sales. So more to come on that. That's an excellent question. I do believe that we need to look at it as that's where the industry is going. It's just a matter of how soon do we want to roll it out to our customers at retail level. Based on our sales in our time of sales in relation to our wholesale power supply costs. So more to come. That answer your question, Commissioner DeBleek?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions before we move on to our new chair for Missouri River? Board chair? All right. Thank you. Mike, if you want to, yeah. First paragraph there. That's good, Mike. Thank you. Vernell Roberts, Detroit Lakes, was elected to the position of chair of the board for Missouri River. Harold is stepping down at the end of the year, so Vernell was appointed. So I know Commissioner Lemire, Commissioner DeBleek, you knew Harold Skibout, our present chair, quite well. So he's stepping down. His replacement is Vernell. Vernell will serve us very well. He's very knowledgeable in the industry, very personable. So we look forward to his leadership at Missouri River and the boards in the chair seat. And next item on here, City Council approved reappointment of Commissioner Weber. I don't know, Commissioner Weber, have you received your oath of office from the city already? Otherwise, you might have to reach out to the city, or we can reach out to the city and obtain it and pass it on to you.
I have not seen it, but that doesn't mean it's not in my mailbox.
Okay. You, if you'd be so kind, let us know if you want us to reach out to the city, and Beth will reach out and obtain a copy if you don't have one, and we'll make sure you receive a copy so that you can sign it, notarize it, and return it. Okay. That would conclude my general manager's report, unless there's additional questions from the commission.
Thank you, John. All right. Is there anything else to come before the commission today? If not, I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion to adjourn. I will now adjourn this meeting. Happy